Welcome back to another episode of You Are Just a Number podcast, a podcast regarding leadership, teamwork, process improvement, and the passion people display. Today's podcast is with Alessio, an RN currently on assignment as a travel nurse and case manager, who is also licensed as a Medicare insurance agent. His goal is to help the elderly community. In this podcast, Alessio will explain what he is trying to accomplish and his approach. To learn more, visit our website, which is youarejustanumber.com. That's the letters youarejustanumber.com, all one word. I am Jim Zellum, your host, so sit back and enjoy Alessio's story.
Everyone, today our guest is Alessio. He has a remarkable story that he would really like to share with us about his career going from medicine into Medicare and trying to help people. So welcome aboard, Alessio.
Hi guys. Hi Jim. Hi John. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you guys. I was actually just looking, I'm very active on LinkedIn, and I saw Dr. Zellum's post, and I happened to just say something, and we got to talking, and here we are. Your guys' website is Medicare Navigator is kind of similar to mine, which is Medicare Nurse Navigator. About 9 years ago, I left bedside emergency nursing because I wanted to solve this problem about elder care and longevity, and also just answering all the Medicare questions that I couldn't answer. So I switched to case management. I got board certified in that. I was working as a discharge planner, case manager, utilization manager, utilization reviewer in the emergency department. And I was able to learn a lot about Medicare and insurance, and coupled that with bedside nursing. 2 years into becoming a case manager, I got board certified in case management, and I had to learn a lot about insurance. So after I took the board certification test, I also took my life and health insurance license and became an insurance agent. Not to sell insurance per se, or life insurance or Medicare, but to really understand the nuances of Medicare, because it was very complex. Most of the time when I was a bedside emergency nurse, I deferred it to the case managers in the emergency department who seemed to know everything and anything about Medicare. So I wanted to be that type of resource. But then when I started working with the insurance agents, and I knew what type of insurance, Medicare insurance that they needed, they would come back when I referred them to insurance agents, they would come back with the wrong type of insurance again, because they just got sold something. They got marketed to a particular product for whatever reason, whether they got the insurance agents got incentives, or they just didn't know what questions to ask from the patient. But that kind of got me involved into going out to the community, the assisted living places, and doing those talks to the senior centers before they met me in the emergency department. Because by the time that they got into the emergency department, they it was a bit too late, because they got that dreaded diagnosis.
Well, I have a couple questions for you, interestingly, that you bring up. So you started off as an RN, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what drove you to become a case manager? Because if listen to your statement, right, you became an RN, then you became a case manager, right? And then you went, yes, really, then you got more. So my first question is to you, what made you go from RN to case manager?
The number one thing is I was developing nurse burnout. In the emergency department, it never closes. I worked All different shifts, but the last one I did for the past 10 years was 11-11 shift, which is the minute before you even put down your backpack, you're running because there's just way too many patients in the waiting room. And by the time you leave, you're exhausted by midnight. And it just kept going and going. So the second thing is that I saw this booklet, that basically the senior directory booklet, and I was looking at the prices of the independent living, the assisted living, and just skilled nursing facility rates. And I was like, holy, holy crap, how do people afford this? And I wanted to solve that. And I said, if my mother-in-law were to be in this situation here, how do we do that? How do they pay for that? And the third thing is that my father-in-law had to go to a secured unit because he had dementia and he was physically abusive and verbally abusive to my mother-in-law. And it just didn't turn out well. So they had to find him housing, and exactly the situation that I saw looking at the booklet, it was, $12,000 a month. And that was just for the, the locked unit, the secured dementia unit per month.
But then, and again, with my limited knowledge in here, based on their income, couldn't they go to Title 19?
No, they had too much.
Too many assets?
Too many assets. In fact, that's exactly what my mother-in-law went through. She started telling, giving her the business office this asset and that asset, and she just closed the book and says, "Well, private pay."
Okay. And so you became case manager. So you're doing this. You see this case manager. Okay. So what made you now jump into insurance? What triggered you to jump into insurance?
Because it was really still just trying to understand. It's complicated, just for the regular person. And in the hospital, I kept getting these questions that I didn't know how to answer. So I decided to kind of listen to what those other insurance agents were saying on YouTube, and that question kept coming up, and so I would put that in the computer, and those insurance agents on YouTube were able to answer that, and I was able to answer that with more confidence whenever patients asked those questions.
So you're talking more about Part C and Part D then, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also observation and inpatient. And even though I was able to answer that, I wanted to dig further to really know the truth. And because of my insurance license, I was able to go talk to carriers and get deeper answers of really everybody's opinion about that, and kind of put the whole thing together to be able to answer it with confidence. And knowing that I know five steps ahead, that what happens if you're under observation downstream, how it affects you outside of the hospital, because then I can't, once you leave the hospital, I can't counsel you. So I would tell them, here's what's going to happen beyond here. And you need to follow these steps, because otherwise you're going to be in a conundrum. Mm-hmm. And people really appreciated that, because, if you're in the community and they're really sickly and they cycle back into the hospital, then I would get feedback of whether or not they listened to my counsel. And if they didn't, unfortunately, I couldn't help them, because then it was tough to change.
Okay.
Alicia, I want to back up to your previous role as case manager, where you have a degree, and I'd like to give you a real life example that I just heard about yesterday that I think would be helpful for the audience to know and to understand. So the person, the daughter of this woman, she's 90 years old. She fell and broke her hip. The daughter is the director of case management for a major facility in the Southeast. And she knows all about case management and all the things that need to be done. She runs a department. But what happened was her mother got, and as a matter of fact, her mother was admitted to the state that you are now, she lives in the state where you are now practicing. Actually, I think she lives in central Pennsylvania. But that being said, she fell, fractured her hip. She's 90 years old. She had the surgery. And when it came time for discharge, case management did not know anything of how to get her to rehab. They wanted to send her to a skilled nursing facility, essentially a nursing home where nothing would be done and nothing would be done to help her progress to her pre-fracture state. And I'm just wondering what your experience is, because the daughter of this woman said that her experience is that most case managers don't know how to handle this and what to do. You can't hear me? Looks like, did we lose sound?
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. It just cut out.
John, why don't you go back to
technology?
Just go back to your question there. They didn't know what to do and what's his recommendations. Why don't you start with that one?
So what happened was, as I said, she's the director of case management herself, and she understands all of this stuff. That being said, even with all of that knowledge, when it came to being the daughter of a patient who was in need of rehab, physical therapy kept coming in and telling her that she needs to go to a skilled nursing facility, and did not know how to get her to rehab, and kept putting her off and putting her off. What's your experience been with, because the daughter says that case managers typically don't know how to move forward with this, and physical therapy is even worse. What is your experience with a situation similar to that?
Well, actually, we work well as a team. And so we wait for the physical therapist's recommendation, and the social workers and the nurse case managers and the doctors all work collectively to make sure that they go home safely. And we give them choice. We really have to dig deep to make sure that we know 5 steps ahead what the situations are, and also the support systems, so that there is a safe transition. I need to know more about that situation there to really make a comment about that. But sure. Overall, I have seen a great teamwork from the hospital and my colleagues.
Okay. Thank you.
So going back then, so you built you have a website, right? What's the name of your website again?
My website is Medicare Nurse Navigator. The mainline Medicare Nurse Navigator.com.
All right. So tell the audience, what's the purpose of your website? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish?
So I want to be a source of reliable information within my community, because if I decide to stay in my community, I want to know every little nook and cranny of all the vetted referral resources are, for not only for my family, but also for my private clients, if they so choose to work with me. I also wanted to let them know that those case managers, whether it's social workers or nurse case managers, and the team are very busy in the hospital, and we would just like to kind of give you the right information out in the community through my website before you meet us in the hospital, because everything is, you know, 10 times the speed of you trying to make the decision. So we want you to know the questions that we're going to be asking you, because we need to give you choices, and so that you can make that choice and have backup plan B and C and D.
So is this just local to your area, local to your state, or is this nationwide? Can you help us understand that?
So in a business sense, you have to be really good in your area before you even, you know, branch out. So the website's purpose is to showcase all the vetted information in the community, and also showcase, you know, my background as a board certified nurse case manager. I've been a nurse for 30 years. I'm also life and health insurance agent. So I know everything about Medicare, and I can get you more information about Medicare than you care to know. And also that I can review your medical records to really customize your choices for Medicare for the rest of your life. In addition, you're able to ask me any questions and have a lifeline to direct to me, because most of what is going on out there, there's just so many information out there that your head's going to be spinning, but you have the confidence to know that there's a nurse that's experienced, who's worked in the health system before, during, and after you pass through the hospital. So that's the reason for the website.
But okay, and I get that, but what is your outreach with all this information? Is your outreach in your city, state, or nationwide?
For now, it's going to be within the health system that I used to work for.
Okay.
It's a four hospital health system with an acute inpatient rehab. But now, currently, I'm on a local travel assignment, so I'm not in the area, but I'm expanding my reach out to central Pennsylvania, per se, because I was in southeast Pennsylvania, and then broaden that so that when somebody is working with me, that I know all the, you know, available resources out there in not only in southeast Pennsylvania and the surrounding states, but also inland and throughout. So
would you then
expand after that?
Would you like to eventually take this whole concept nationally?
Yes, the way I'm going to do that is encourage more of the experienced nurses that I meet to be the node or a center of attention in their respective suburbs or, you know, area in the city. And then we just share communications, best practices, because I can't touch everybody, basically, when it comes to this, because I anticipate that in the next 5 to 10 years, that there's just way too many people to help outside of the hospital, because that's where Medicare is headed to, and which is more compensation for keeping the patients in their medical home or their hospital at home concept.
So I would presume that with you having a degree in case management, that you're very aware of things like the social determinants of health and the effects that it has on people moving forward. And along with that, is it just you doing this right now, or do you have your own staff too that you work with, or just people that come along that you communicate with that you use that to expand your scope?
So I'm a solopreneur, is what they call. And what I do during the past 9 years is to continually vet out adult daycare center operators, non-medical home care operators that treat my patients right, because I get feedback from when they go back to the hospital. As well as like the assisted living placement business operators, and just kind of create a whole sphere of referral partners, the elder care attorneys, the financial planners, those that are in good standing, so that when we do talk, because I need them, my clients to be treated well. That's what I'm doing. Yes, creating that kind of like my hospital team, the social workers, the pharmacists, the other case managers, the liaisons, and the durable medical equipment company. I'm doing that personally out in the community, wherever I go. So if they're in central Pennsylvania, with southeast Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Jersey, I know people, and I meet them also through the internet.
Okay, so that's good. So, what is your ultimate goal? Where do you want to be in 5 years from right now? I mean, how you want to take this nationwide, but what's your goal? How to get there?
To actually just encourage the 4.1 million nurses to go out and have confidence to be a force in their community by serving the community, because they're certified, they're practicing to their top of their license, as well as they have the ability to make a better living without having to have the burnout, as well as have less volume of people that they need to take care of, which, so that's how I'm going to encourage the nurses to do that.
So you're encouraging the nurses, which I can completely understand. Okay. But you also said you're a board certified case management, right?
Right.
So do you want these nurses to be also certified in case management? You're a unique person, because you put all this stuff together into a nice ball, and you got this, your license now in, for Medicare supplements for your state. So how does that go with your goal? So you get these nurses, what about case management? What about becoming certified? Or are you trying to make a triangle of three people to do that?
No, I think down the road, to really stand out, you need all those certifications, because you need to pivot. You need to think holistically on how to take care of the not only the patients or the solo agers, but they're also their families, because it trickles down. It's not only taking care of the patient or their parents, but it also takes care of the children and grandchildren who are also busy in trying to take care of the, whoever's the patient is, because it affects them all. So you need to pivot. The nurse who's going to be this expert, subject matter expert, has to have those licenses and certifications, so that you can create a holistic plan
Can I ask you a question about that? I understand your holistic plan, but you put, you're putting the holistic plan in one person.
Yes.
I'm just throwing this out there. Okay.
Yeah.
Why can't you have three expertise people? Okay. Being one certified, registered nurse being one, a certified case manager being two, and a licensed person that's really good, and get to three to work holistically to do it instead of just one. You have three pieces coming together that communicate well, interact well. So basically you're taking their specialty and you're putting them all, you're integrating them together to resolve those same issues. Would that not work?
Oh, yes. That can work if you want to follow that business practice. But for me and for most of the other nurses, we want, we're kind of hands-on. And the ones who, that's the reason why I also have been trying to vet out referral partners, because a lot of them were unreliable. So if it needs to be done, they need to be in the proper insurance plan or long-term care insurance. I certainly can do that. If I need to be hands-on and you know, take care of them momentarily while I set up, you know, home care, then I can do that. I can pivot. You're right. It's the concept that you're talking about is kind of like what the wealthy managers, it's kind of a family office type setup, where they have the CPA, the financial planners, the you know, wealth managers, all kind of be in the same round table. I certainly can do that. And if I, you know, if the business gets bigger, I'll probably do that, you know, with creating that family office type business, you know, business plan down the road. I needed to be all of that so that I can choose, I can vet out those people that I'm going to put in the round table.
So you mentioned expanding your business. So presently, how are you getting your message out there? What's your main source to do that, to be able to expand your business like you'd like to?
So, you know, artificial intelligence and generative AI allows me to brainstorm articles and start the process in creating conversations through blogs. I have my YouTube channel, which is called Your Medicare Nurse Navigator. I also do the TikTok. I also do the Facebook, and I'm very active on LinkedIn. So that creates a flywheel of, you know, creating basically a megaphone of what a Medicare Nurse Navigator does, so that I can get inquiries. And I have a phone number that I put out that kind of collects all of the texts, the emails, and inquiries. It's in one central CRM that goes directly to my cell phone. And, you know, it helps me to be that solopreneur to be able to answer. Now, I know that I'm going to get a lot of questions and also a lot of inquiries. So I filter them through my CRM or customer relationship manager, and to really kind of filter the people who are just asking questions that they can Google themselves, or the ones who are actually want to need help, immediate help. And that's how I do it.
Well, I guess I'm going to go off on a tangent here. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So I love everything you're saying. Okay. But how, okay, so if you want these nurses to go back and do this, how do you get compensated? I mean, we all have to get compensated, okay? I is this all free that you're doing, Alicia?
So my business plan is initially, whenever you're talking about your reach out is about Medicare, you just answer Medicare questions. Whenever Medicare is involved, because I'm a licensed agent, everything that I say is free. So if they're just wanting to make a choice about, you know, original Medicare with a supplement or Medicare Advantage, they have questions like that. Whatever that 30-minute or a 1-hour conversation, if it turns out that I'm helping them write a Medicare a policy, it's free. There's no charge. But if they wanted me to review their medical records, create a strategy, create that kind of folder or follow them through, then that's a package price. Let's say if that after reviewing their medical records and putting together a plan, that would be, let's say, like a financial planner, that would be $1,000. You can take that plan and execute that. If it is more of an urgent nature and you want me physically present to say, take care of your family member in the hospital, then it would be like an hourly rate of what a geriatric care manager would charge, which is $250 an hour. And those are the tiers that, I usually just encourage the people to talk to me about Medicare so that I can't charge them. So that's the kind of,
But if they talk to you about Medicare, but they need some of your case management input per se, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's the Medicare part is free, but the case management part isn't.
That's correct. Yeah. And kind of like what some of beneficiaries are finding out, you know, for those annual wellness check, right? If the doctor does more than just look you over and say you're okay, then you get another charge. And so then they have the complexity increases. And so they get this charge through Medicare, and they're like, what, the doctor, I just talked to the doctor about this and that. And yes, the more you talk to the doctor, the more complex it is. And that's just not a wellness checkup. So that's the confusion out there. And it's almost the same thing. So that I'll have to tell them, here's the demarcation. I'll talk to you anything about insurance, because I can't charge when it pertains to Medicare or Medicare Advantage. If it goes beyond that, you're asking me, you know, what should I do about these, you know, this medications or this health issue, then yes, then it goes to another tier.
Okay.
So in essence, if you want to summarize it, to provide a basic understanding is free, and to go anything further than that, as far as a consultation is concerned, there is a cost associated with that.
Correct.
Well, I think what you've been telling us is great. I really do. So, Alicia, to end this, is there any advice that you'd like to give, in summary, any advice you'd like to give to our listeners right now?
Yes. I want them to understand before they meet me in the hospital that if you choose, the wrong Medicare insurance for your particular situation, there's repercussions down the road whenever you go to a skilled rehab or, have to pay out of pocket. The other things that I want to let everybody know is that there are a lack of caregivers out there beyond the hospital. So if you're going to need more hands-on care for your family members, you really have to talk about it, be strategic about saving money. because for those, when you hear nurses talk about the burnout in the hospital, the volume of care that we have to put out to several different people is overwhelming. But imagine if that was your family member who has dementia that you're going to be taking care of for 20 more years, and there's no cure for that, and that's your only job for the rest of your life. How are you going to strategically put that plan together and also pay for that plan? So those are the main things that I want to reiterate, is get them, prepare for getting the right Medicare insurance, as well as to pay for long-term services, save for that.
Okay. Well, Alicia, I really thank you taking the time out of the day to talk to us and, you know, share with our listeners your vast knowledge.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our podcast with Alicia. People learn so much from both their own experiences and those of others. So if you have some experiences that you would like to share, just email me at jim@youarejustanumber.com. Until next time, have a great day.